Okay, today's daf is Chulin Yubet. We're going to start at the bottom. Rav Ashi Amar, about 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara, for the course of most of the daf, was trying to figure out where we get the source that we follow the majority. And then it said, well, the majority, if there's a majority in front of us and we can count the majority, that kind of majority is learned from the verse, Acharei Rabim Lahatot. So that can't be the question. So the question is, what about, that's called Ruba De'ita Kaman, that it's in front of us. What about a Ruba De'leita Kaman? We can't necessarily just count up. It means, like, most people do this. Most animals, see, right, aren't trefot. Okay, things like that. So how do we know that we follow the majority in that type of case? So Rav Ashi says, after having a slew of attempts to prove it, they rejected a whole bunch of them and then eventually concluded that we have a bunch. They then brought a slew of options that did work, and they're kind of keeping in a list of, oh, we can learn it from here, we can learn it from here. So Rav Ashi is going to bring the last one, which is Atim Shchita Atzma. We can learn it from Shchita itself. The Torah said you can shecht an animal and eat it. V'lichush, why aren't we concerned? Shema b'mkom nekev kashachit. Maybe there was a nekev there, right? Again, then we have to rely on, well, the majority of animals aren't trefas, so we're not worried that he shechted it specifically in a place where there was a hole, in which case the animal would have been a trefa, and we'd have no way of knowing. So, therefore, we learn from the fact that the Torah tells us, shecht an animal and you could eat it. That teaches us we're not choshe, you know, that we follow the majority. Elalah mishum damrinan, right? It must be because we hold zeal bataruba. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi now continues and says, Amarita l'shmate kamei de Rav Kahana. I said this in front of Rav Kahana. V'amar le Rav Kahana kamei de Rav Shimi. And then Rav Kahana said it in front of Rav Shimi. V'amar le, and Rav Shimi said to him, V'dil mehecha de efshar, efshar. Hecha de lo efshar, lo efshar. He says, why don't you just say, that doesn't prove anything, because that's a case where there's no way to check it. But maybe that means that in a case where there is a way to check it, we don't follow the rov. Like, let's say we say most people do things, you know, most shochtim or mumchim. So can we just rely on that rov, right? And it's the whole law of following the rov means that we can rely on that rov. We don't have to check and ask, was this shechted by a person who knows what they're doing? But now he's saying, no, maybe we can follow it when you shech the animal and you have no way to check whether it's a trefa, because maybe bimkom nekev nakav, and now it's too late, there's nothing you could do. In that case, we follow rov. But in a case where we can go find out who is the shochet, does he know the laws, and we can check all that stuff, in that case, what would we say? Maybe in that case, we have to go checking. Okay, so you follow? So there's a difference. So again, in a case where you can't, the whole concept here was that we follow rov no matter what. Even if we don't need, we can assume the majority, whatever the majority is okay, and we don't have to go checking. But maybe that's only in a case, if we're going to learn that from Shchita, where we have no choice but to check. We have no choice but to rely on the rov because we can't check. But in a case where you could check, then you should check. De'ilo tamahachi, because if you don't say that, to the Rabbi Meir, the Chayish Lemiyuta, Hachanami Deloach Chobasar Bisra. So now Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that we follow Rov in any case. Rabbi Meir is always concerned. We have to worry about the minority of people that this might be their situation. So if he holds, you have to worry about the minority. Then why does he hold that you can eat kosher meat? According to him, you'd have to worry that maybe the animal's a trefa, maybe you shechted it where the cut was, right? Exactly where there was a nekef. So now, according to Rabbi Meir, maybe you can't eat basar. You wouldn't be able to eat basar, which means what? The Rabbi Meir distinguishes, and he held Yuchayesh Lemiyuta when you can check. And when you can't check, then it's okay. But when you can check,
when you can check, then he worries about the minority.
That's Rabbi Meir. Right. Well, right now we're going to say if Rabbi Meir holds always by the minority, then he would never be able to eat kosher meat. And the chite mahachanami, and maybe you say he was vegetarian and he held you couldn't eat meat, right? He didn't think you could check. So Pesach v'kodashim ma'ika lameimar, but there are parts times where you have to eat meat. So what? You're not going to be able to eat them. Ella, therefore, what can we infer from here? Hecha de efshar efshar. Hecha de lo efshar, lo efshar. So therefore, we conclude, based on that, based on Rabbi Meir, that he's choshesh lemiut, that you'd have to distinguish between a case where you can check and a case where you can't check. In shechita, where you can't check, we're going to hold like Rabbi Meir. Okay? And that, I'm sorry, we're going to hold like Rabbi Meir. Even Rabbi Meir is going to agree that we can follow the Rov. Okay? But in a case where you can check, we have no proof from the fact that the Torah allowed us to shecht that it's okay. Because even Rabbi Meir would agree. There's a whole bachlok at Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, whether we hold by Rov or we choshesh for Miut. And we're trying to find a source for Chachamim. But the fact that you can check the animals and eat them doesn't prove anything, because Rabbi Meir would also have to hold you can check the animals. So therefore, we're going to say maybe you only hold by Rov. And so far, we haven't proven. And this basically rejects all our previous proofs. Because in all the previous proofs, we can just say, maybe they only allowed it, because all the previous proofs were, it has to be this way, because you have to follow Rov, because otherwise there would be no, we're stuck. Basically, it's saying, well, if you're stuck, then you can follow Rov, even Rabbi Meir would agree. So therefore, we haven't proven Chachamim at all, and we're left with nothing. So we've just knocked out any proofs that weren't yet knocked out. Okay, so therefore, Hachinami, just like in Shechita, we're going to say in all the cases, Hecha de'afshar afshar, Hecha de'lo afshar, lo afshar. Okay, now, that's the end of the sugya. Notice there's two dots. So where does that leave us? Where's our source for that we could follow the Rov? So Rashi comes up with two explanations. Okay, if you look in Rashi, it says, Sehecha yafina mine. Okay, so here. He says in the first narrow line in Rashi, Elavadai halacha lamoshe misinai. Hadamrinan, hadasamchinan aruba. Afilu hecha de epshar. Okay, that's one option. Either we say, it's halacha lamoshe misinai. Okay, meaning we have an old masoret about this, but we don't really know where this comes from. Inami, alternatively, you could say, acharei rabim lahatot, mashma bein ruba de'ita kaman, bein ruba de'leita kaman. Okay, maybe you can say that we started off with saying acharei rabim lahatot was just when you have it in front of you, and you could say, okay, so how many, and let's go after the rope. But now we're going to say it even works in Ruba Deleita Kaman, which is, you know, most people this, most people that. Maybe it's all learned out in the end from that Pasuk. Demaishna Hamehai, because what's the difference this or that? Okay? And now comes his really interesting line. The Aha Milta Samchina, and then this is what we rely on. The Lo Badkinan Kol Yud Chet Trefot. Okay? There's 18 possible trefos, things that could be trefed in an animal. And we don't require that a shochet has to check all 18 trefot when he shechs the animal. You don't have to start opening the animal, dissecting it, and checking, are all those parts intact, because we follow the rov. Okay, here he says a very interesting halachic thing. Unikuvat hare'ah, what about the hole in the lung? I don't know if you know this, but this is where glock kosher comes from. Okay, glock kosher is that the one thing you have to check is the lung, okay, and it comes based on this Rashi. So nikuvat hare'ah mishum dishchiach bareyuta, because it's so common that there's a problem with the lung. We're not going to get into the details yet about what it is and what the difference is between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and why there's glot kosher and different opinions about, do you have to eat glot, don't you have to eat glot? That we're going to get to later. But the whole concept of the fact that you need to check the lung, which is the premise for what, you know, glot kosher is a machloket about how you check the lung. But the fact that you have to check the lung comes from here. It doesn't come up in the Gemara. Well, right, we're going to see. But nikuvat hare'ah mishum dishchiach bareyuta badkina. Because it's so common, Rashi says, therefore that one has to be checked. So all the other ones, we say, rov animals don't have this. But since this is very common, therefore you have to check it. Behecha di'itrami di'ifr shareah v'lo badak. What if the lung is no longer and you can't check it? Basically, what do we say then? Mit achla de samchina naha, okay, va'ad Rav Huna, da'amar nishkata b'chizkat heter omedet. And then we go back to what we saw at Rav Huna a few dapim ago, because we say we can assume once it's checked it, it's omedet b'chizkat heter. So what he says is you have to check the lung, but if for some reason you didn't and we can no longer check it, you can rely on the fact that Rov, you know, even though it's very common, it's still not Rov, and it's omed b'chizkat heter. However, he says, this is really interesting, ve'eim mefarsamim hadavar, but we don't let people know this. Because he's concerned that if people know this, they may not check the lung l'chatchila. Okay? And therefore, he says, we don't let people know this. Okay? But what's interesting about this is, after Rashi writes this, I don't know if it's because Rashi wrote it or it was just something that everybody knew about, and it wasn't just Rashi wrote it, but this all basically becomes standard.
Okay? What's interesting is that they don't say, I mean, the premise that he said that out of 18 different things, they knew that the lung would be common, more common than the whole. That means that they should have been checking the 18 things beforehand and ruled out that they might have a common.
How did they know that?
Like this premise how'd they that know? Started with that we accept
right.
as
how did they know that all the other 18 were yeah. problematic and the lung was, right? It's a good
because
question how
again,
they do that.
We're talking about. Right.
What they also say is, for example, I don't know if you know this, but if the animal's a trefa, then you can't drink the milk either. And also we rely on Rov there, because you have to assume Rov, well, you can't go cutting the animal up and checking the lungs, otherwise the animal will die and you won't be able to get the milk. So the fact that you can milk a cow and not worry that it's a trefa is also based on this, that you can follow the Rov, not Chazaka, but Rov. Okay?
Unless the animal's dead, you can't check all
these. Exactly. Things. That's the point. So that's why we rely on Rov when you can't, when there's no choice, but to, right, when you have no way to check. Okay? But then when you can check, once the animal's dead, then you're supposed to, in this case of the lung specifically, not in other things. Okay? Just 1 second. Okay, fine. We'll go on, and then I'm going to read you also about, we'll get back, and I'll read you the Shulchan Aruch on, about how we rely on shochtim and stuff. Rov mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchim heim. We're going to talk about that also. Amrav Nachman Amarav. Ra'a achat sheshachat. So you see somebody shechting. Im ra'ahu mitchila va'ad sof. If you saw him from the beginning of the procedure till the end, mutar le'echo mishchitato. V'im lav, and if you didn't see him from start to finish, asur le'echo mishchitato. So now the obvious question on Rav Nachman, who says in the name of Rav, is heichidami, what's the case? Idi yada degamir, if you know he's knowledgeable, lama li ra'a, why do you need to watch his shchita? Idi yada de lo gamir, and if you know that he's not knowledgeable, well then pshita, that you have to watch him mitchila v'ad sof to make sure he's doing it properly. So what's the case? Ella de lo yada igamir ilo, what if you don't know? Well then, lema rov mitzuyin etzel, sorry, let me read it better. Lema, we should say, rov mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchim heim. In other words, we have this concept that the most of the people who shecht are mumchim, and therefore we should be able to rely on that, and you shouldn't need to watch him. Milo Tanya, doesn't it say in a braita? Haresha matzah tarnegolet shchuta. Here we're going to see how we know that rov mitzuyin etzel shchita are mumchim. If you see a tarnegolet shchuta bashuk, shechted in the shuk, okay, a slaughtered tarnegolet, o sha'amar l'shlucho, or you said to your shaliach, say shchot, go out and shecht me a bird, v'halach u'matzah shachut, and he goes and he sees, okay, now there's a debate, who goes and sees, either the shaliach goes out and finds one shechted, can he bring it back to the person who sent him, or the owner finds one shechted, can he assume that the shaliach shechted it and not somebody else? In other words, and he knows since he asked the shaliach was going to do it properly. Cheskato shachut, we can assume it was shechted properly. Alma, therefore, what can one infer from this braita? Amrina rov mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchin hen. So hachanami, lema rov mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchin hen. Okay, so therefore we're stuck with what was Rav Nachman in the name of Rav talking about when he said, if you see someone shechting, as long as you saw him from beginning, right, you have to see him from beginning to end to make sure it's good. We already said, right? Either he doesn't know anything, and then of course you have to do this, and it's no reason to say it, or he knows, or even if he doesn't know, we can assume he knows, because Rav Mitzuyin Etzel Shchita Mumchin Hen. So, La'olam De'yada De'lo Gamir, the case where he was talking about is where we know he doesn't know anything. But why was it not pashut? Because it was a case, ukigon de shachat kaman chad siman shapir. What did it say? It said, you have to watch it mitchila v'ad sof. Why mitchila v'ad sof? Because maybe you would say, even though we know that he doesn't know the laws, but since he already cut one siman, in a good way, right, and it worked, it was good, ma'u detema midahai shapir, hach nami shapir, and maybe you don't need to watch him anymore. Maybe once you see shechted the first siman properly, you can say, ah, this guy's fine, I don't have to watch him anymore. Kamash malan, hai itruyume itrame, that was just luck, itrame le, idach, but the next siman shema shaha shema daras, right? You have to worry. Maybe he's going to wait. Maybe he's going to push the knife in, and it won't work. Okay? So now I just wanted to read to you in the Shulchan Aruch these laws about rov mitzuyin et shel shvita mumchim. Okay? Second. In the beginning of Yoredea, siman aleph. Okay? Siman aleph, halacha aleph, or mamash at the beginning. It says, hakol shochatin lechatchila afilu nashim. Okay, then the Rama says, yesh omrim she'ein lahaniach nashim lishchot, shekvar nahagu shelo lishchot. Okay, because the minhag, women didn't really do it, even though there were time periods where women were shochtim, I found out. Bechein haminhag, I think in the 16th century, there were a bunch of women shochtim. Bechein haminhag she'ein anashim shochtot. Okay, the minhag is women don't, but in theory they could. Okay, now the Rama continues. Va'avadim v'chol adam afilu em kirinoto. Okay, even if you don't know shemuchzak lishchot shelo yitalef. Remember the problem about fainting. V'gam ein yodim bo shum mumche v'yodei ochot shchita. Even if you don't know that he's a mumche and he knows ochot shchita. Mutar liten lo lechatchila lishchot. U'mutar lechom shchitato sherov harigilin lishchotim b'chizkam mumchim u'muchzakim. So we can rely on this chazaka that most people are, or this rov that most people are rigilin lishchot. But this is only now we start to have all these hesitations or hysteguyot. That's if you know someone checked it, but you don't know who did it, and you can't go asking him. Okay, you have to start asking him. Do you know the laws of shchita? If you know the, you have to check it out. Okay, but you don't have to ask him. Did you faint? The Rama now has a very big note, and he says here, "V'yesh omrim she'ein l'smoch l'chazaka ela b'di'evet, aval l'chadchila ein l'smoch l'chazaka b'mkom yicholim she'yicholim l'bararo." He says, "But really, if it can be looked into, you shouldn't really rely on this." Because the mari v'acherim she'einam b'kiim v'yodim imzeh shochei pakiol imlav. This is all about, right, other people that don't know, right, and they don't know about the shochet. What about the shochet himself? Aval shochet atzmo lo yishchot afal pi sheyodei ochot shchita u'mumche ad sheshachak imo pa'amim b'fnei chacham. In other words, this is all, can we rely on the rov or mumchim? But for the shochet himself, he can't just say, okay, well, I know what I'm doing, I'm just going to go shecht. He has to make sure, number one, he doesn't faint. He has to go through a few times of doing it, of not fainting. He has to study with someone. B'fnei chacham u'mumche b'rchot shchita sheyodea shuragil v'zarir shelo yitalef. B'lachein noagim she'ein adam shochet elen ken natan kabbalah l'fnei chacham. We mentioned this before. The Rama starts saying that you need a certificate. You have to get a certificate from a chacham. V'ein hachacham noten lo kabbalah ad sheyeda shu yodea b'rchot shchita u'baki b'yad. He has to see that you're good with your hand, and you can do this well. ולכן נוהגים שכל הבאים לשחות סומכים עליהם לכתחילה ולא בדקינן אותם, לא בתחילה ולא בסוף, okay? So you don't really have to check them because we can assume that they all have the certificate. דכל המצויין את של שחיתה כבר נטלו קבלה לפני חכם. In other words, what he's testifying is in his time anyway, no, you had to get the certificate, and only the people who got the certificate were the ones who were really doing the שחיתה. ובקצת מקומות נוהגים להחמיר עוד, תמקבל נותן כתב מן החכם לראייה שנתן לו קבלה. Now this, I actually said a certificate, but what he's saying is actually, you need to get kind of smicha for doing shchita, but really it was verbal. But he's saying, but some people are machmir to actually get something written so that someone can check you out if they want. But what he was saying is really there's no point for anyone to check you out, because since this is the reality, this then determines, right, that you no longer need it. But some people do that. וכל שוחט, אף על פי שנטל קבלה, יראה שיחזור לפרקים לחוד שחיטה. You have to do השתלמויות, okay? We, you know, keep learning more about it so that they're, you know, your refresher courses. שושגורים בפיו ובליבו שלא ישכחם. וכמו שעדים ברחוד שחיטה ובמי שבא לשחוט, כך הוא עדים ברחוד בדיקות הראייה. Okay, this is also about checking the lungs. ודינם ומנהגם שווה בכל זה, ויש לבית דין לחקור ולדרוש אחר הבודקים. Okay, the bait din has to check out to make sure that they're בקים ומומחים וכשרים. כי גדול איסור המכשלה בשחיתות ובדיקות המסורות לכל. This is a huge problem because we all rely on our butchers, right? We go, we assume, we don't start checking. And therefore, the butchers themselves have to be very conscientious to make sure, because otherwise they're being makshil people all the time. Here's an interesting case. What if they checked a shochet? So we had this guy who maybe knew at some point, but now he doesn't seem to know what he's talking about anymore. Im natal pam achat kabbalah, so he distinguished. Let's say you find a shochet that turns out to know what he's doing. So if he has a kabbalah, okay, now you got to assume there wasn't as much bribery in those days, and you know, when it comes to these things. So we can assume, since he had a kabbalah at some point, so we don't go lemafreya and say everything you did before that was treif. Okay? We can assume that right now you lost your mind, you know, you can't remember anymore and he doesn't know what he's doing. So now, I don't know how far can you go back. Most people ate the meat array, there's nothing to be done. First of all, you go back and check anyone in the city who's bought meat in the last day or so, you know, don't eat it. And gam kola kelim shebishlubahem need a hechsher, right? And he'll have to be machsher everything he did. So there's just some interesting laws about how we deal with this rove mitzuyin et shlitor mumchim. However, you know, there's this kind of, then people got kabbalot sort of in the time of the Rama, and you know, we can assume that they're all mumchim unless you know otherwise that they're not. And then, you know, but then he basically says the Gemara here doesn't really refer to the responsibility of the shochet himself. He's got to take his own responsibility to keep up on the halachot and to make sure that he's a mumche and he knows what he's doing. Okay. Now we're going to say, Ba'amine Rav Dimi Bar Yosef Me Rav Nachman. So Rav Dimi Bar Yosef asked a question from Rav Nachman. Ha'omer l'shlucho. So Rav Nachman was the one who just said, right? He was the one who made the statement. Ra'ach ha'chach shachanim ra'ach mitchilav ha'atsof mutar l'chom shlitato. And we just explained the situation of that. Okay. Now he says, Ha'omer l'shlucho tsei u'shachot. Exactly what we just discussed. You say to your shaliach, go out and shecht, and then he turns out, he finds something shechted. Mahu. Amar lo, chezkato shechut. So you can assume it was shechted properly. So if you find it, right, you don't, what happened is the shaliach didn't come back and say, I shechted it, but you find it outside your house, shechut, you can assume it was shechted properly. Ha'omer l'shluchot, say utirom, but alternatively, if you say to your shaliach, go and take truma on my produce, okay, he had exactly 100, and he saw that exactly the amount of truma was taken out, right? Let's say 1 in 50, or right? So let's say he sees 2 were missing. My. Can he assume that the shaliach took the truma? Amar le, ein chezkato tarum. He says, no, you can't assume that your stuff is meiser properly. Why? Manashach. Either which way it should be. Either you say, I chazaka shaliach oseh shlichuto afilu trumanami. If there's a chazaka, okay, there's a debate about whether there's a chazaka, that if you add, there's a great chazaka, okay, if you ask someone to do it, can you assume it's done, right? We all know that sort of depends on who the person is that you're asking, right? Because before Shabbat, you ask someone to do something in the house, and then you realize after Shabbat started, didn't I ask you to do that? It wasn't done, right? So can you assume? Never. So can you assume? So if you can assume that if you ask a shaliach to do something, the shaliach's going to do it, then it should apply both in the shlita case and in the truma case, and the truma should be truma. V'i ein chazaka shaliach oseh shlichuto, and if we can't assume that the shaliach's going to do what you asked him to do, afilu shchita nami lo, then shchita, you find it shachut, it shouldn't work. So amalei, l'chitecho lala kore de milcha. He says, okay, now there's a bit of a debate how you understand this, but go eat a core of salt, let's say, which is a huge amount of salt, meaning if you spend the amount of time it takes you to eat a core of salt thinking about this topic, you'll figure out the answer, okay? It's not super complicated. It's sort of, Rashi says it's a bidichuta. He's kind of mocking him. La'olam, because this is really the answer. Ein chazaka shaliach oseh shlichuto. We hold that you can't assume the shaliach did a shlichut. So now we have to explain the shchita case, right? If it's shachut, u'shchita, inami, dilma inishachrina shama, va'azal shachat. In other words, either he did it himself, even though you can't assume he did it, but maybe he did it. Or, inami, maybe someone else heard you say you wanted this animal shechted, and he shechted it for you. And since even though you don't know who shechted it, we can assume, rov mitzuyin etzal shchita mumchim heim. So therefore, you can assume it was shechted kalacha. But shruma, dilma inishachrina shama, Ba'azil taram, if in truma you make that same assumption, maybe someone else took your truma. Havale torem shalomidat, va torem shalomidat, ein trumato truma. There's a separate halacha, which is no one's allowed to take, okay, the pasuk says, tarimu gam atem. So they learn from Gam Atem. Gam means even your shaliach can do it. You can appoint a shaliach to take Trumot Ma'aser for you. But because it says Gam Atem, just like you do your Trumot Midat, you decide, also your shaliach has to do your Trumot Midat. And it seems that one of the, at least to me, what seemed the reason was, is because when you do Truma, there's actually this whole thing we learned before, which is that if someone takes Truma for you and then you respond to him, I don't know if you remember this very interesting case, and you respond, why didn't you take nicer fruits? Because with Truma, you can decide. You have better fruits, you have worse fruits. You could decide whether you want to take your best fruits to give the Kohen or your less best fruits. So what they say is, right, if someone took Truma for you and you didn't specify which ones and you said to him, why didn't you take the nicer ones? So we don't know whether you were sarcastic of why didn't you take my nicest stuff, meaning why did you take my nicest stuff? I really didn't want you to do that. So it depends if you really have nicer stuff than that and that wasn't your nicest, then obviously you meant I wanted to take something nicer. And therefore the Truma is okay. It's just he didn't take the best of what he could have taken. But if you say, and you have nothing better, and you say, why didn't you take my nicer stuff, which really meant, why did you take my nice stuff? It meant that you didn't want it to be an ein truma to truma. So I think that it's related to that, that in a, you can only give truma based on what you want to give. If you don't want to give your best stuff, how could he decide for you that he's going to take your best stuff? So therefore, if you don't appoint someone to be a shaliach, and they just take truma for you, the truma is not, it's not valid. So now they say, okay, so that's one second. Let me just make sure we're done. And then I want to also show you something on the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, fine. So that's it. So now, so what it seems from here is, if somebody else takes your truma, it doesn't work. But if someone else shechs your animal, it's fine. Okay? But there's an interesting thing that happens here. In the Shulchan Aruch, okay, in the Hilchot Truma, Yoredeh Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, it says, Ha'omer l'shechot seyu trom li v'alach li trom ve'eno yodeh im taram, u ba'u matzah keri tarum, he finds his pile ma'iserd, or Truma to ma'iserd, ein cheskato tarum, cheshinan shem acher taram shelo b'rishut. Okay? Then the Rama writes, v'yesh omrim debuchi agavna cheskato tarum. Some people say that it actually is. Why? Because remember, what did we say this was all based on? The question is, if you come and find your pile, did the shaliach do it, or did someone else come? So our Gemara assumed, ein shaliach oseh shlichuto. But some people say, against the conclusion of our sugya, that you can assume, amrinan chazaka shaliach oseh shlichuto. Okay? In another sugya, we hold shaliach oseh shlichuto. You can't assume. However, the debate is, can you assume it's only l'chumra? In other words, on a d'oraita level, this doesn't work. We can assume on a d'rabbanan level to be machmir. Or do we assume shaliach oseh shlichuto on a d'oraita level and it applies across the board? So this is debate. And they say, this is based on the Torah. The Torah says this. But they say, we can't understand why it says this because it goes against our explicit Gemara. So our Gemara seems very clear. The ein shaliach oseh shlichuto and atarim shelo midat. Everyone agrees if someone else comes and does your truma, it's no good. The question is, in this case, if you ask your shaliach to do it, and then you come back and find your pile dealt with, can you assume the shaliach did it, or can you worry that maybe someone else did it? And it's all based on, do we hold shaliach oseh shlichuto or not? So even though our sugya seems to say you can't assume shaliach is going to do your shlichut, since it appears in another sugya, and there it seems we do rely on that, and however, there it's l'chumra. Do we assume it's only l'chumra, or do we assume it's across the board? This would be l'kula, because this would say, oh, I don't have to take more truma to masra. So it's also interesting in terms of how the Gemara's work. You know, our sugya seems very clear, and then they'll say about the Torah, how can you possibly say that? It's not what it says in the sugya. But there's other issues at stake here, because it's depending on how you hold on this machloket about shliach oseh shlichuto or not. Okay. Lema rov mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchim heim tenayhi. Maybe we should say that this rov mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchim is a machloket tanaim. Why? Detanya, haresh avdulo gdiyav v'tarnagolav. If you lost some of your animals or birds, v'halachu mitza'an shchutin, and then you find them shechted. Rabbi Yehuda oser, Rabbi Chanina ben Osho, Rabbi Yossi aglili matir. So, right? What will we assume? That was their machloket. Do we assume it was shechted, right? Once someone shechs it, can we assume it was shechted properly or not? Then we're just going to continue before we go back to that. I'm a Rebbe. Nir'im d'varav sh'Rabbi Yehuda sh'mitza'am ba'ashpa. It seems like we'd hold like Rabbi Yehuda if you found them in the garbage. Because if you find them in the garbage, we should forbid them because someone must have messed up the shechita and thrown them in the garbage. B'divrei Rebbe, I would paskin like Divrei Rebbe, Rabbi Chanina ben Osher Rabbi Yossi Aglili, shemitza'am babayit. But if you find them in a house, then we can assume that we're going to rely on it. So my lav b'hakam b'flagei, is this not the machloket? Demar sabar amrina rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchin hein. Umar sabar lo amrina rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchin hein. So Amrav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo. No, you can't assume that's the machloket. Dekulei alma rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchin hein. Everyone agrees that rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchin hein. Ubabayi, dekulei alma lo pligi deshari. Bashpasha bashuk, dekulei alma lo pligi deaser. Everyone agrees if you find it in your house, it's mutar because rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchin hein. If you find it in ashpa in the shuk, in a garbage dump in the street, kulei alma lo pligi deaser. Everyone agrees that's aser because obviously it was thrown in the garbage because it wasn't shechted properly. Ki pligi ba'ashpa shebabayit. And the machloket is only in one particular case, which right away we're going to see is problematic. It makes no sense according to what Rebbe said. We'll see that. But right now we're going to assume that what? The only time is if there's a garbage near your house. Mar savar adam asui lahatil nivlato ba'ashpa shebabayit. Okay, one holds that people do put their nevelas in the house. So therefore, if you have a nevela, you're going to something got messed up, you're going to throw it in the house, in the garbage. Umar savar ein adam asui lahatil nivlato ba'ashpa shebabayit. It reeks a nevela. No one's going to dump your nevela in the house. Okay, so therefore, because of that, we're going to assume that if you find it in the house, it's not. It doesn't show that it's a nevela because nobody would put their nevela in the garbage dump. So now we're going to say though, but this something doesn't make sense here because Amar Mar. What did Rebbe say? Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Shemitzah Ambashpa, which means if we find it in the ashpa, then we're going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. But when it says I would hold like Rabbi Yehuda in that case, means that the other guy argues with him in that case. You follow? The lashon of, I would hold like him in this case, and I would hold like him in that case, doesn't mean they each agree with each other in those opposite cases. So now, this assumption that their machloket is only in one specific place makes no sense with the line in the Braita that says, that Rebbe says, I would hold like him in this case and hold him in like that case. So let's go through both things that he said. If you say Nirim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Shemitzah Ambashpa, my ashpa, if you're going to say, Ilema ashpa shebashuk, didn't we just say, Ha'amart kule amalo pligi de'aser? Everyone agrees with the ashpa shebashuk that it's forbidden. So you wouldn't need to say, I would agree with him, because everyone agrees in that case. Elalav, pshita ba'ashpa shebabayit. It must be, when he said ba'ashpa, I would hold like Rabbi Yehuda, he means an ashpa in the house. Okay, so far this works. But ema seifa, but when he says, V'divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Osher Rabbi Yossi Aglili shemitza'am b'bayit, and I'd agree with him if I found it in the house, my love bayit. Ilema bayit mamash ha'amart kulei amal pligi d'shari. We already said if we're talking about in the house, everyone agrees that it's mutar. So he wouldn't say, I would hold like him, because everyone agrees. So, ela pshita b'ashpasha b'bayit. So therefore, you could only say that that means, bayit means ashpasha b'bayit. Kasha d'rebi ad'rebi. So then Rebbe makes no sense.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
I don't understand the beginning of this whole story, because if my animals went missing and I would assume that somebody stole them and wanted to use them and didn't go and do a kosher shechita so that I could use them later on.
Maybe they got lost.
No, they got lost and then, right, and they show up shechted. So the question is, can you assume, right, why would someone have shechted them?
And that would override
right.
Anything.
It is a bit of a strange, I don't think this is such a realistic case. I think what they're trying to talk about is the concept of, you know, what do we rely, can we, how far can we take this rov mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchin hein? So if you find some random thing shechted, can you assume that it's okay?
So how would you know they're your animal? They're shechted already.
Right, well, you'd have to have some identifying something. Yeah. You had a tag on it, right, mm-hmm. Something. So anyway, right, you're right that it's a very strange case. But anyway, hachi kamar. Yeah.
It's like lurking in very dangerous, territory.
Agreed. Hachi kamar. And then the other thing that they're not really discussing is, where do you live? Do you live in a place where there's a lot of non-Jews or only Jews, right? It seemed that this is only really in a place where most people are Jewish and... You know, that doesn't appear here. Right. So now they say, Nir'im, this is what it means. When he says it like this, Nir'im Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't mean, I paskin like him here, which means the other guy argues. What it means is exactly what, I think it was Rav Nachman, what was it? Exactly what, sorry, who was it who said it? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, what it means is, Nir'im divrei Rabbi Yehuda li Rabbi Chanina b'nosha Rabbi Yossi Aglili ba'ash pasha bashuk. In other words, if it's in the Ashpasha Bashuk, even Rabbi Chanina, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that if you find it in the Ashpasha Bashuk, clearly it's not kosher. Okay? Because that's where people dump things. Sha'af Rabbi Chanina b'nosha Rabbi Yossi Aglili lo nechlak alav ela b'ashpasha b'bayit. And then, v'nir'im b'chule, they don't even write the rest, which is, nir'im divrei Rabbi Yehuda, if you find it in your house. If you find it in your house, you can assume it was shechted properly. And then, the Braita reads exactly the way Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak wanted to read it. And then, what's the only case they argue? They're talking about an ashpasha b'bayit. Okay, in your own private garbage dump, what's the situation? Okay, now we're going back to the original Mishnah. If you remember, the Mishnah said, okay, let's just read it quickly. Very first Mishnah in the Masechet. Hakol shochatin ushchitatan shera. Remember, that was, what do you mean? L'chatchila l'bidyevet. We had six explanations. What's the Mishnah talking about? Chutz mi cheresh shotev katan. That even b'dievet, they can't do a shchita. Shema yikalkalu, because maybe they'll mess up the shchita, et shchitatan. V'kulan sheshachatu v'acher ro'inotan shchitatan shera. Remember, we said the pshat seems to indicate something about the cheresh shotev katan, but the Gemara, each time in all six explanations, said, can't possibly be that, because it would have just said, im shachato, shchita, right? And there's acherim ro'inotan, it would work. So therefore, they say it must not be talking about that, it must be talking about something else, and each one had their own explanation. However, this Gemara's assumption goes against that and assumes that those words refer to cheresh shotev katan, the way we thought the simple explanation was. The way people explain it is they say, the Gemara all along never meant it doesn't refer to cheresh shotev katan. It just meant it doesn't exclusively refer to cheresh shotev katan. If it meant only cheresh shotev katan, it would have said im shachato. Kula means both the new case that they came up with in each of the explanations and the cheresh shotev katan, so that it also refers to the cheresh shotev katan. Okay, that's the only way you can really understand the sugya, unless you just say this is has some other explanation that wasn't brought up in the Gemara earlier, and this is some other way of reading it. So anyway, chutz mecheresh shotev katan shelo shema yikalkalu et shchitatan. Shema kilkilu lo katane, ela shema yikalkalu. It would have made sense if it said all these people who shecht shchitatan kshera, right, even bidyeved, and then it says, but not a cheresh shotev katan, which sounds like even bidyeved, it's no good. Now, if you're talking about bidyeved, it should say, just in case they messed it up. Why is it saying in case they will mess it up? It doesn't seem to make sense in the context. So Amarava zot omeret emosrin lem chulin lechatchila. This means you can't give them chulin lechatchila lishchot. Some people say the problem is they might be metame them. Okay, that we're worried about some other issue. Why do you care about tumah? We're in chulin because remember the people who ate al tarat hakodesh shouldn't give them to a cheresh shotev katan because they might be metame. Or maybe you just can't give it to them, and then yes, but yeah, but it's no good. But even, you know, don't give it to them lechatchila either. B'kulan sheshachatu v'acherim ro'inotam shchitatan k'shera. So now they say, right, now again, what did I say? The assumption of this Gemara is, even a cheresh shotev katan can do shchita, as long as someone's watching them. Now they assume, what does this mean? Man tana delo b'inan kavana l'shchita. Who's the tana that holds this, that you don't need kavana to be shochet? The assumption is maybe you need kavanah to shecht. This proves you don't, because a cheresh shotev katan don't have dat, so they can't have kavanah. So therefore, they can't do shchita. So here it seems to imply, as long as someone's watching them, that's fine. So here you see, even without kavanah, you can do shchita, because their kavanah is not kavanah. So Amar Rava, Rabbi Natan hi, our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Natan, Ditani Oshaya Ze'eri Demin Chavraya, Zarak sakin l'noatza b'kotel. Here's if you want to talk about unrealistic cases. You throw a knife, okay? And if you think it's unrealistic, yeah, wait till it gets even more unrealistic. You throw a knife to, like a dart, okay? A knife is a dart into a wall. B'halcha v'shachta kidarka. And as it's going, it shechs the animal, cuts off its neck, right? Knocks out the two simanim. Rabbi Natan machshir v'chachamim poslim. Okay, this is classic. We saw this, we ended Menachah with this. Remember the case of Midasek? By shchita, right? You can't mitasek bekodshim. In kaza davar, you can't accidentally shech something. It doesn't count. But in chulin, we see that Rabbi Natan says you can. The chachamim poslim. Chachamim say no good. So what do you see here? Our Mishnah follows Rabbi Natan, because if cheresh shotev katan b'dieved, their shchita could be good. Must be they don't need kavana. Hu tane la v'hu amar la. So he brought this. Oshaya, Ze'ere, brought this. And who Amarla? And he said, Halacha ke Rabbi Natan. Okay, we actually paskin like him. So now they say, but wait a minute. Habi'ina molichu maybe, but don't you need to go back and forth? Didn't we say the whole shita zen in a back and forth motion? So how could you shoot your knife, dart it at the wall, and it checks the animal on the way, and that's kosher shita? You don't have the back and forth motion that you need for shita. Remember, that was the whole thing. You can't jam it into the throat. You have to go back and forth. So, like I said, it's going to get more unrealistic. Shalcha uba kidarka. You hit, right, like a boomerang. It hit the wall, and it came back and hit the animal again, and that's how the animal was shechted.
So
okay?
Like jugglers with knives.
Right, exactly.
The carrot that was just holding or something.
Exactly. You have to have someone very skilled. But again, if they were skilled in doing it because they were skilled, then that's kavanah. This would have to be, it happened without any intent whatsoever. Try to find a juggler who can do that, not even mean to do it, and it actually works. Okay. Fine. I'm going to end here because the next thing starts this whole new section, which is connected, but about can a katan have machshava? Can his ma'aseh be me'id on his machshava? In other words, is there any way we could say a katan has some way of his intent means something? Okay, right now we assume he can't have kavana. Okay, but we'll get to. I also want to point out there's a difference here in the sugya about kavana for. What did we say? The cheresh shatav katan could do it as long as acherim ro'im. Someone else has to see. Okay, if someone sees, then it's okay. But you don't need kavana. But there's other cases where acherim omdim al gabehen. This is in gitin and things like that. You can have. You can have a katan or maybe even a cheresh or a shoteh do it as long as there's someone omdim al gabam and they're supervising. And then I think it's really just a katan maybe, but I'm not sure. I have to check. But there, why does it work there and it doesn't work here? Right here, the assumption is you don't have kavana just because somebody's watching you. There, so they distinguish between acherim ro'in and acherim omdim al gabam. When someone's omed al gaban, it means that they're giving you the dot. They're explaining to you the halacha so you understand it and you do it properly. Because get has to be lishma, it has to be l'shem, the man and the woman and the, right, all that. So in those cases, we allow it because the acherim omdim al gaban are supervising them. Here, the person's not supervising, they're just watching. So that shows it has nothing to do with intent. Right? It's not because they have intent. It's just they're doing an act and they have to check to make sure the act is done properly. There, the acherim omdim al gaban is to make them have the intent. So there's a way that you can make someone have intent even if they can't necessarily by themselves have intent. But those are two different things. Okay? Freshman basically distinguish between that. Okay.
I thought that we were that intent was important with shchita because the whole reason we need is because we do shchita the same way that they did in the Beit HaMikdash. So that's why we have to have some level of...
Yeah, but there's a higher standard there. That there it needs kavanah and here it doesn't need kavanah. There also it needs kavanah that it was done l'shem that particular korban. That's the issue. It's not so much that you do it for the sake of shchita, but that you do it for the sake of shchita also for that particular korban. Okay, so
the shchita has to be the same.
Remember, the shchita has to be done the shema. Remember, if you do the shchita shalo the shema, what happens? We have to shecht a new animal. We can still use that animal, but we have to shecht a new one. And it's
but the methodology of shchita has to be exactly the same, is what I understood. Like how you would shecht a
yes.
shchita has
yes,
to be
but
same.
Not the intent. Uh-huh. Right, the act, physical act, has to be the same, but not the intent. Because if the act is done without you intending it, it works for shchita, but not for shchita chulin, but not for kachim.
They learned yesterday. You can turn it. They learned yesterday.